someone in the gang. If I still remember, we were in a portfolio committee meeting. Someone was saying someone in the gang. I'm not sure whether it's you, DJ, in the gang. This time around. But welcome, DJ. On our second session, also the ICT policy review chairperson, we appreciate your presence because it's making things easier also to check in terms of the other part of the work, what is happening. I can see Yusufa Chair, she's still here. Not Chair. Hey, you'll be fired, you know. There are no coups in boards. People are appointed normally through process. Councillor Mashia Sotrikwa, I was phoned by the chairperson of ICASA and say you'll be here on behalf of ICASA. You are also also most welcome, and all the stakeholders who are here, and the entities or companies who are here with us. I'm told that Nati, the legal service person who normally attend our meeting, is not well. Off sick, someone else will be replacing him. I've not yet seen the someone else. I'm still waiting for the someone else. Will be replacing Nati from legal services. Probably introduce the someone else when the someone else arrives. But we have to proceed with our meeting. Probably members will have to discuss how do we proceed after this item. In relation to the next item, we'll have the interviews for the MDDA board in terms of how do we take forward that process until we finish it. Members, before you should be having the B. The amendments as agreed to by the portfolio committee, which is B17A, and also you should be having the B as already amended, which is, will be your B17B. I just want to check with all members, they do have the document with them, so that we can be able to move together. Any member without the document? So you all have the document. In that case, I'm still not sure about this someone who must come from legal service. Probably someone must check for me where is this someone, and then how long this someone will be here. But we'll proceed with the state law advisor being present. Members, let's start with our the 17A. As agreed by the committee, because we'll have to adopt it before we can go clause by clause on the bill as amended by the committee, whether our amendments as we agreed to are captured amended bill, at least we know that everything we wanted to be amended has been captured as is and so on. Members, is there anything which is not being captured in terms of the amendments as we have proposed or agreed to by the committee? You see, when everyone looks at me, I don't normally don't know what to do except looking back. That's all what I can do. I can look back. But before you members, you've got your 17A, which are the amendments which we have agreed to as a committee. Can we deal with that? Or you want me to take it through with the cover page? Anything there? I wanted to put it all once and finish with it, but if you want me to go one by one, it's okay. Page 2, close 1. Close 2. Amended, in particular section 47. nothing raised except the realignment or the alignment of the long time with the amendments. Can I have a mover and a seconder of the amendment that's agreed to by the committee? Honorable Mbuto.
Thank you, Chair. Can I move for the amendments as agreed by the committee?
Thank you. Anyone supporting or seconding? I didn't know that I'm so beautiful. You can all look at me. Much appreciated. Honorable Lazi.
Thank you, Chair. I second the approval of the amendments.
Thank you very much, Honorable Lazi, for the secondment of the acceptance of the amendment as agreed to by the committee. Thank you very much. Everyone is looking at me. Honorable Sheen.
Yes, Chair, while I agree that the amendments we asked for have been made, on rereading this at the weekend, there were two small issues that I wanted to raise with regards to the Broadband Council. And I wondered, you know, when would be appropriate to do it, if I can discuss them now or when we go through it on a clause-by-clause basis.
The process, as I understand it, is that as we've already accepted, amended, agreed to by the committee, those are amendments which are going through the amendment bill and so on. But it's our process. Let the parties engage. If they agree on to that, is something which probably they can do on to that. It's your bill.
Thank you. Just regarding the National Broadband Council, which is section 72A, on it's page 16. 72A point number 2 said members, the minister, terms and conditions of appointment of members who may be from the public and private sector. Can we not change that may to must? And then I wondered if we could include, because point G or something, saying that the deliberations or the minutes of the deliberations of the council would be made public, and all its reports and surveys available for public consumption. Public information and interaction. Something.
Members. Members, that's what Honorable Sheen is suggesting in terms of clause 17.2A. To change may into must, and also add G, which will look at the publications of the decisions by the council and so on. Honorable Morotwa?
Chairperson, I might be out of contact because I went out. I thought that we are adopting because we have agreed with what the department has done that we requested from them. And I don't know whether we are going, where are we exactly now? Nevertheless, Chairperson, when you have time to explain to me from what Honorable Sheen is saying, whether what procedure are we taking before we can even interact with that, can I ask the legal advisor to tell us what would be the implication of the must and may.
Thank you. Special advice?
Yes, Chair. Must generally connotes or means a obligation. I'm not 100% sure to what extent the meaning is changed by having a must, because it would then read the terms and conditions of appointments of members who must be from the public and private sector must be as determined by the minister. There is only a public and a private sector. So I don't know whether the must changes the meaning. I'm not sure what the chair, the member, the honourable member, what intentions she would like to convey.
Honourable Shin.
Thank you, Chairperson. What I'm trying to ascertain is to whether the minister could appoint a council that was only from the public sector. What I'm actually wanting is that it be an obligation to include public and private sector participants in the broadband council.
Honourable Rota. That was the explanation from the state law advisor and the further motivation by Honourable Chief.
Thank you, Chairperson. From what I understand now is that really I don't think we need to change that. Can I opt for this passage to remain as it is?
Thank you. Other members, any comments? For me, I'm only going to ask those who are in favor for the amendment and those who are not. But members and other members want to talk to the matter. Honorable Steve.
Thank you, Chairperson. Surely the intention is that they should come from both sectors. And this really just makes it clear, as the Honourable Shin has indicated, so that if one says may, it could very, all the members could very well come just from one sector. But I think the intention is that it should be from both sectors. And if we then change the word must, it just clarifies it. There's no doubt or anything. Thank you, Chair.
Honourable Killen.
Chairperson, I think it is what is meant here, but if we make it clearer, then I would suggest that it should then be who must be from both the public and the private sector. That makes it clearer, but I really don't want to fall on any sword for this amendment. Thank you.
Thank you, members. Those members who are for the amendment, can you so indicate? Oh, okay. And those who are for not the amendment or against the amendment? Or it's 2-2? It's 2-2. I only see the hands of Honorable Nivodro and Honorable Murutwa and Mutambi. Honorable Pekan and Honorable Nlazi, which therefore against the amendment that that section 72A, 72A2 must remain as is. So it will remain as looking at the hands, is 2 against 5. So 17.2A.2 will remain as is. Those amendments will not be effected. There was the next issue which Honorable Shin proposed to add G. Honorable Shin, if you can elaborate on that.
Just Chair, I believe that the National Broadband Council is probably going to be an effective organisation, and obviously it affects the whole rollout of our communications infrastructure, and I just felt that there would be a lot of valuable information and decisions made by it that should be shared with the public. That is the minutes of their decisions, and also the supporting documents that enable them to come to those decisions, plus any other research they may have done that would be of general public interest. I feel it would be a valuable resource.
Thank you, Honorable Shin. What is the council supposed to do? Are they making policies or taking decisions, or their work is only just to advise the minister? It is the minister who implement and move forward things. What is that they're supposed to do? When they publish these minutes, for whom exactly? Probably someone can clarify what exactly is supposed to do the work of the council. I thought when I was reading, unless I'm wrong, that the only thing they do, they look into issues and advise the minister. So the onus is with the minister, not the council. So the council is not something which seems to be on its own, independent and boldly with dealing with things. But their work goes to the minister on what the minister, then informing the minister, then the minister can take policy decisions around probably those advices and so on. But DG, can anyone probably outline?
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson. If I can just take you to page 16, 32, 72, 1, 3. The council must report and advise the Minister of Communications on broadband policy and implementation. So that would be the role, to advise the Minister of Communications.
Deadlock advisor, you also got experience on other council and so on. Do you have any council that publish decisions and other things? You do with, deal with a lot of legislation and others.
Chairperson, yes, it's difficult for just to think of an example out of my head, and I must ask the committee. This is really a decision for the committee whether these deliberations of the council must be made publicly available. I think a factor which plays a big role is the fact that the council is mainly there to advise the minister, and not, and I see it also advises the Minister of Finance, but that's an important factor to take into account.
Thank you, Honourable Steyn.
Okay, personally, I don't see any harm because it doesn't obligate the council to release it. There's a caveat in 3 where it says, and must we required to do so by the minister. So should the minister then decide that yes, it must be public, all the minister has to do is to inform the council. So there is a caveat there that it's still subject to the minister giving that permission to do so. Doesn't mean if we insert it, that it must happen without the minister's permission.
Which one we are reading on our stand? Which is
7283, Chairperson.
Yes.
The council must report to and advise the minister on broadband policy and implementation, but it doesn't stop there. It then says, and must, where required to do so by the minister, perform the following functions. So that would be subject to the minister still requiring council to do that. It just leaves space in it for it to happen should the minister agree to it.
Members? I don't know, silence, what does it mean? Because we need either to add or we don't add. Simple. So if members are silent, I assume we have to add the G. Honorable Chair?
Thank you, Chair. Now, I just wanted to know that if there is any possible harm in publishing, you know, these research documents that will inform the minister. Obviously, the minister has an obligation to make or not to make decisions based on the information that's supplied. but I think that an awful lot of money and time and effort would have gone into coming up with learned opinions that may well be valuable, you know, if not to, just to inform the sector.
I don't know. If you are asking me, I don't know. But all what I know, that's why I was asking, what is this council supposed to do? Is the council for South Africa General, or is the council solely made to advise the minister? And what does it mean to publish its decision and so on, but they are made to advise the minister? I just wanted to understand what becomes the implication. Because if you publish your decision, and the minister is supposed to take policy decisions based on that advice. So I'm just trying to understand what exactly comes first, what is feasible, and also why that council is existing exactly. Because if it's only for the minister, then that's one of the difficulties. I raise the questions to clarify. Honorable Stay. There was a hand. Honorable Killen. Honorable Shin.
Chair, you know, we've taken this discussion further. You know, I can understand that possibly it's not wise to publish the minutes or the decisions of the meetings. But I think that the research, as research documents, would be valuable to the rest of the public. And obviously, the advice that they may have passed on to the minister is really for the minister to hang on to or share if he or she chooses. But I think that the research that's done. And the reports or whatever they've used to inform their decisions would just be valuable as a resource.
Thank you. DG or department? Just was DG Honorable Muruta.
I thought to say, you see, Chairperson, you are surprised that some of us are quiet because I thought the request made by Honorable C, the DG tried to respond by referring us to the 72A3. And if you read it, it's quite clear. And I would like to understand what exactly you would like to do here, because where do we want to, where is our concern about the publication? So that we can participate. Maybe we don't understand what is requested.
Probably, let me say, members, because you raised that question, Honorable Morotwa, earlier. Where we are, we were dealing with the amendments agreed to by the committee. B17A. We have finalized that process. Those amendments have been carried as they are, moved and seconded. After we have moved and seconded, all the amendments agreed to, Honorable Shin is raising these issues. Which procedural issues should have raised when we're dealing with all the issues agreed to by the committee before was moved and seconded? Now, because it's a legislative process, not one to confine people or to restrict people, that's why I've allowed the discussion and the engagement, so that if there is a consideration and so on, but by right we are done with amendments agreed to by the committee. If she had any, she would have raised it when we're dealing with the amendments before we moved and seconded, so that it's incorporated in that process, if agreed to and so on. So, but that's where we are, because I was just trying to accommodate and hear what are the actual issues which the member is picking up, and hear her arguments around that probably can be convincing and convince the committee and so on. But that's where we are. Honorable Muruta.
as it is on the screen, if I'm hearing it properly, the concern raised by Honorable Sheen is on the E. Where is it? That's why I needed clarity.
Honorable Sheen is saying, Honorable Mrutwa, on page 16, or no, page 17 of the bill as amended, you go until F. Then she's proposing to add G, a new clause, or a new G, which that G will indicate that she can phrase it, that the council must publish its decisions and reports or reports to the public. So when the DG was, then the question I've asked was that why is this council being established? Then when the DG was responding about 372A3, the DG was saying this council exists to advise the minister. And then the minister, after being advised, considering whatever they brought, then the minister take policy decision. Now, the issue was that you want to publish something before even the minister or the minister has taken policy decision on those issues and so on. So that's what we're trying to tease around, whether that is feasible or desirable, that an advisory body will publish and other things and so on. So that's what we're trying to look into, the feasibility of that. But Honorable Sheen then is saying on page 17 you can add a new G there which says the minister, the council can publish those reports and so on. Honorable Mrutwa? Honorable Mrutwa, before you proceed, welcome. You see, they told me that someone from Legal Service is coming, so I assume your name is someone. So I've been saying we're waiting for someone, and someone now is here from Legal Service. It's Madam Isaacs. Okay. You may proceed, Honorable Mrutwa.
Yeah, Chairperson. That is, I tried to follow this, and I've got my act here. And I listened, I wasn't aware that it's an additional G, because I was trying to understand these are tabulated here, what the council should be doing, instructed by the minister, which is, it must be determined by the minister. And really, I don't understand why we should have that extra G. That is the reason why you saw me so stunned. And I needed to understand, maybe there's something I don't understand. With me, this is what the minister is going to utilize the council for. And now publishing it, I don't think it's going to address anything. Because first of all, as you have said, the minister must take policy decisions after that. Thank you, Chairperson.
Which hands was up? I've forgotten, but there was a hand. Ms. Killian? Honorable Killian? Was your hand up? Oh, thank you. Members, that is the addition or the amendments which Honorable Sheen is raising on page 17, section 72A, to add G there. Those who are in favor of that addition, it's one. Those who are not in favor of the addition or the amendment, or three. You see, members, you must come and sit here and look at Ketange and Lazi, what they are doing. It's very interesting. Now, those who are in favor of the addition, there are two, actually. Honorable Stenden raised his hand later. And those who are against is five. Initially, I forgot to ask that those who remain neutral don't have a view on the matter. Honorable Killen, I didn't see your hand either way. So you are neutral.
Chairperson, indeed, I have not expressed any view on the matter.
On the first one?
Same.
Okay. Thank you, members. The addition will fall off. Any other matter? For the amendments, they will fall off. Any other matter? Honorable Killen?
Chairperson, I take it that for this process it is too late to just make a correction on the definition of registered political parties. I have indicated to you during the tea break that I thought we do have a problem as it is stipulated in the Act currently, as well as the proposed revision. Because it makes reference to, but it's a matter that has been dealt with by the committee. I don't know for what reason. Let me just quickly go to the relevant definition. It is on page 4 of amended, as amended by the Portfolio Committee on Communications, National Assembly. More specifically, Chairperson, it is where it starts in line 20. It refers to political party. In the original Act, it had a definition, registered political party, which is fine. It's not the issue. It's just that the phraseology used here exactly conforms to what was in the original Act. And I have raised just a concern with the description as it is here, because it makes reference to A, any registered party defined in Section 1 of the Electoral Act, 1998, and then it has or any alliance of such registered party as the case may be, which for the purposes of any particular election has. Now, where it starts in with a phrase which for the purposes of any particular election, I would have argued, Chairperson, that that actually should have been indented so that you that section becomes applicable to both A and B. As it is at present, I have a concern that it is open for all registered parties. I think we are now running by 200 registered parties that have registered with the IEC. And I thought it was meant to narrow it down to those who are in fact participating in an election. So that was my concern that I just raised. But I was unable to be here when you discussed the provisions. And I therefore understand that it's late to make the necessary adjustment. I would also argue that as it is here, before the commencement of the relevant election period, the Electoral Act is actually very open. The minute that an election is proclaimed, the IEC publishes an election timetable. And one of the first actions of political parties is they must submit lists. So I would have proposed just a slight adjustment of the wording as well. But as I indicated to you over the tea break, maybe it is not feasible now, and then I will accept it. It's just a pity that we don't also just tidy up, the sort of the wording whilst we are busy with an amendment bill. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you, Honorable Killen. State law advisors, do you get the gist? When I read the same clauses as it is, I thought that the other last part is applicable for both. But state law advisors?
Yes, Chairperson. No, the last part, that's the part that starts with the word which, as it currently is in the bill and in the Act, only applies to B. So I would think that there's merit in the notion that the which part should come out to the sidelines so that it applies to both A and B. At the moment, that qualification does not apply to A.
Legal service and yourself told to advise us, what does that mean in the process where we are now?
I can give you a formulation of an amendment right now, and if the committee would like to, would, I don't know whether the committee would like to entertain the proposed amendment.
Legal services, what does it mean on the process where we are now?
Thank you, Chairperson. I've just been roped in quickly, so from what I gather, you've already...
And the people who are robbers, they are good. You have been roped, yeah?
from what I gather, the committee has already voted on the A list. So if they're going to adopt the proposed amendment, then they would have to re-vote on a new list with the new amendments accepted.
Those are the views from the state law advisors and legal services members. I throw it back to you.
Chairperson, can I perhaps just then, would you allow me to make a recommendation and then the state law advisor can tell us if he agrees with that? As I indicated, I think it would be just more appropriate because if we look at Chapter 9 and we're going into an election period now, it has implications for party electoral broadcasts and for advertisements, etc. And I think we all need just clarity on who would be able to claim sort of space in the election. So I would suggest that, as Mr. Smuts, the state law advisor, has indicated, if we can move the which out, but if we could then say which for the purpose of any particular election has submitted its list of candidates for the National Assembly or any other legislature contemplated in the Constitution, and then we add the reference to in terms of the election timetable. In terms of the election timetable. Because one of the key moments, it's usually about 2 weeks after the announcement of or the promulgation of the election, one of the key moments, whether you are part of the election or not, is the submission of party lists. And that will really determine which are the parties that will become eligible for Chapter 9 privileges, if we can describe it like that.
Probably before I go to Honourable Murutwa Ikasa, you've got the role during the election. What is the impact of this thing, this clause? What I know that you've got a role in monitoring, especially the public broadcaster, in terms of its compliance with the activities during the election. I'll come back to Honourable Murutwa if you don't mind.
Chairman, we are currently redrafting our elections regulations. Notwithstanding, we've had a flood of complaints from the political parties when we met at the IEC in the previous years. We even had the independent candidates saying that they should be entitled to participate in the same democratic fashion as registered political parties. What we did say is that we would raise it in the amendment process on just, you know, what the Constitution permits, and that is our framework, our working framework when we draft the regulations. So in terms of the recommendation proposed by Honourable Killian, I really don't have a comment until I see what is being drafted.
Thank you. The reason probably I'm raising this because is that to exclude. I'm not sure whether what becomes the constitutional implication, because what it does is that to exclude and probably it's very important that when you start to exclude other participants, you should be sure whether we are not playing around the issue of constitutionality or unconstitutionality. So I need that assurance. That's why I'm trying to ask as much as you can, because now we are excluding only conferred to those registers, but in effect what they are doing are excluding other parties. They might not be registered and so on. What become the implication of that constitutional, the law advisor? Not what we can desire to do, but what does that mean constitutional? Whether we'll still be within the constitution in terms of doing that and so on. Honorable Murutwa, you are next. Tambi.
Yeah, Chairperson, I'm not going to be like Susan, Honorable Susan, and say I shouldn't have spoken after you, because you just mentioned what I thought is the problem if we take out that part that Honorable Kirlian said we must omit. To me, it excludes, because when you come to the part that says has before commencement of the relevant election period, it explains the other parties, even if they had not submitted their list, they don't qualify, but they were, they are political parties. I thought he was trying to explain what it means a political party is in the time of elections. So I really don't understand. The other thing is that how she was formulating this is just vice versa, and excluding the other parties. There is nothing meaningful to me what Honorable Killian was trying to say. I think here it's also a constitutional matter, as he has said, Jefferson. I don't know. I think if there's any other... there's any other advice, but with me, Chairperson, I think
Honorable Mtambi, Killian.
I haven't finished.
Oh, we have not. Sorry, my apologies. My apologies.
I want to give you my opinion. I would say, Chairperson, as far as it is explained to me, I still remain, I don't know, other people might correct me, I remain, you know, satisfied with what is written here, because it is inclusive to me.
Honorable Mtambi, Honorable Killian, you'll follow, then I'll go to the legal service.
Thank you, Chair. I'm on page 13 of D17, in particular, Section 55. I just need clarity from the state law advisor, the way I read the ICASA regulation. You recall, Chairperson, that last week you requested the department to investigate. I think it's close to Section 55, it's close to 25. for the proposed amendments being made in terms of Section 55. And the department indicated that these were regulations that were already in place under the IBA Act, and which were accidentally omitted when the EC Act was promulgated in 2006. And then they also indicated that ICASA has done a review of the regulation and published the findings in 2009. I've been going through this inquiry of ICASA that did in 2009, and if you refer to the ICASA's findings document, it is very clear that the general view among the submissions then was that the scheduling regulation by ICASA would be undue interference in the commercial activities of broadcasters, and that in fact the placement and duration restriction contemplated by ICASA interfered with the independence and control of broadcaster programming. I'm raising it because you had the submission that was made when we joined by the broadcaster to the committee in this regard, where they highlighted the fact that scheduling regulation is very analog mindset and that needed to be re-examined in policy discussion for a digital multi-channel environment, given the fact that the chair of the ICT panel is also here. I think I need his input to that effect to say these amendments, are they not actually to be included in the matters that need to be dealt with, definitely to form part of the ICT policy review. And then if maybe we are to proceed, we should maybe omit scheduling of adverts and deal with the rest as provided for on the Act. But I need guidance by the state law advisor. ICASA is also here because the regulations that ICASA promulgated, I got the regulation relating to the definition of advertising and the regulation of information and program sponsorship, and then it doesn't deal with the issue of scheduling of adverts.
Okay, they will give you after the meeting. There is what you call logic. Let's finish the first issue. If there's another issue, we can deal with another issue. we are stuck. Legal services.
Thank you, Chairperson. Chairperson, with regard to the proposed amendment to political party, from my reading, it A applies to a registered political party in Section 1 of the Electoral Act, and B, any alliance of such registered parties. So the proposed amendment by the member is correct in that that part from which should apply to both registered parties and an alliance of registered parties. So it would make more sense to have that drop to the bottom so it applies to both A and B. Thank you, Chairperson.
No constitutional implication.
I can't see where the unconstitutionality can come in. Courts have on various occasions said that Parliament may regulate its own proceedings, and courts will normally not interfere with the how committees work. So if the committee wants to entertain the proposed amendment, it's for the committee to decide.
Members, does the presentation from the state law advisor, legal services and so on, Honorable Rutwa, you engage on the matter, you had your view on it. Honorable Killen.
Chairperson, no, I will actually welcome the amendment if the committee so agrees, simply because, and your concern about constitutionality. Remember, any person can register a political party. But once an election date is promulgated, parties must indicate to the IEC if they will be part of the election, of a specific election. And the party electoral broadcast that the councillor Sontika has referred to is actually to make provision for those parties to participate in the public debate about the election, upcoming election. So if there is currently a prohibition on B, that prohibition must also apply to A. Otherwise, any party has actually the potential to demand
electoral time during an election process. So if there's any constitutionality issue, it's actually in the Electoral Act, where it is open for everybody to register a political party, but for people to comply with deadlines as soon as an election is promulgated to become part of the election. And I just wanted to refer, it's the timetable of the election is referred in Section 20 of the Electoral Act, 73 of 1998, and the Schedule 1 indicates where the specific cut-off dates are. And it's those cut-off dates that I was referring to. So if we can adjust it as agreed to by the legal services and by the state law advisor, it will be actually help ICASA to know exactly who the customers are that they will engage with during a particular election. Thank you, Chair.
Before I can give to them to reformulate, I just want to first get whether there's a consensus among yourself as a committee. Remember, it's your thing now. They can only help us with the formulation, but it's your deal. Members, can we proceed to receive the reformulation? Honorable Nivot Rocha.
Can we have the reformulation on screen as well, please, Chair?
Reformulation on screen? What will be the reformulations that are advised by the legal service?
I just want to get the correct wording from the Honourable Member, Jefferson.
Are you technologically challenged? Honourable Maruta, your hands up.
Proposed two things. I asked for the which to be indented so that it applies to A and B. And then I also made a recommendation on a slight adjustment to the wording. But I think to make it easier for the committee, let us stick with the wording as it is there, but then we just take the which out and we indent it to make it applicable to A and B.
The issue is that the last part of B should be applicable to both. That's the issue, not on the one part and so on. Honorable Mthambi?
Maybe trading of individual and whatever like it is, we need to remove the word let as indicated in the 70s, in the 80s.
Which is
page four
of A list or
of B on yes, 17A.
Page four?
Yes, page on page 9, 9:49 omit let sublet. Also to on page 10 in 9:10 omit let sublet. But when you go to page 8 of this B main document, those wording are still appearing let to see, not in line with what you can see.
Okay.
You see that? The technical thing. Because we need to. Turn 9 and 10 on page 8 you see. Let's upload again, let's upload. Also on 10 again, let's upload on B, 10B.
Advisor, we don't see anything on the screen.
Say, we
come back to your issues we have raised now. I just want us to finish one, otherwise we will be confused.
It's not 100% correct with this big, yeah, this is, no, what? Proposed amendment on the screen, Honourable Members, Chairperson, shows that the paragraph B is separate and the which part is moved to the sideline, so that the effect of this change is that the which part would apply to both paragraphs A and B.
Oh, this means applicable to A and B. As it stands now means that it's applicable to A and B.
Yes, we don't show paragraph A because A doesn't change. It's only paragraph B that's being changed, and as indicated on the screen.
I just want to be certain that the standalone means applicable to A and B as it is. Because to me, it's a standalone, the wilderness. After B, then it's alone there. Does it mean automatically that it will be applicable to A and B without being explicit? I just want to be sure of that because as it is, I can't get that sense. Honorable Mtambi, you wanted to comment on this matter?
You see, I'm like you, Chairperson, the way you're putting it. Because here, why we're raising this, we want to avoid the same unintended consequences of trading, you know, on individual and class licenses.
Which one we are dealing with? We are dealing with the political parties and election. I told you that we start with issue and finish. We are glued to your matter. I just wanted to check whether, because we don't want to deal with it, and you must stop talking when I'm talking, because they are hitting at me, because they are distracting me. You rather write, I'll read, but stop talking while I'm talking. Legal services, this will suffice to cover both?
Yes, Chairperson, that will now be in line with what the member proposed. It will cover A and B.
You can do
it. Yes. It will now be applicable to be the part from which that goes right to the Constitution applies to A or B. So if you read it, you will read it from the first line, A or B, which for the purpose. That makes it clearer.
Okay. ICASA, it's in line with your current practices.
Chair, I think we need the assurance from the state legal advisors whether this aligns with the Electoral Act. Because the list that ICASA uses is the list that the IEC publishes, no other list. We don't refer, when we allocate airtime, we wait for the IEC to publish the final list. So our reference should be the IEC list. And that's my concern, is that this thing just opens the door for anything. So I'm just wondering, because if we start saying that any political party that has submitted its list to the National Assembly, I would just like to have the comfort that this aligns exactly with that list that the IEC will publish. For the purposes of limiting ambivalence, perhaps, I would suggest that we refer to the list that the IEC will publish.
Honourable Killen?
Chairperson, we can do that. I just wanted to say that this is actually going to bring the law in line with what the current practice is at ICASA. The list referred to is the list that the IEC is publishing in terms of the election timetable of all those parties who made the deadline for the submission of candidate lists. So if you want to, we can check the relevant clause in the Electoral Act to even describe it and make it clearer, one extra step further. But as it is at this stage, it was applicable to an alliance, but it was not applicable to A, which actually exposed ICASA to challenges. I would say that it is far better if we have it applicable to both A and B, and therefore one extra step to clarify the matter further could be specific reference to the clause in the Electoral Act, which is the one according to which the IEC publishes the final lists of parties participating in the election. So I just want to say, but there's always some or other sort of, can I say, practical implementation period, which makes it complex. This will help, but we can tighten it further. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other comments on the matter? Honorable Rotua?
You see, Chairperson, it is not helping us. It's not assisting us when people talk in parables here. One will come and just talk and don't give us a recommendation of how we should. Because if you are talking, we're talking about a political party here, and this is trying to explain what political party would be considered at this time of elections. And if we are talking about submitted its list, it means the party list, the list that comes from the party. And then now if you want to add and explain that after everything, the IEC will publish. That's something else. I really don't think we should elaborate to an extent that we will really miss what we're talking about. We're talking about the political party.
Thank you. Diwosi?
I think on this issue, we feel the legal and state law advisor must actually advise us here because the reading remains the same. I was wondering what is this referred to, because all it is a separation. It could be that we are not legal enough, but I had also thought after which you might have a comma for the applicability, because otherwise it's reading. But apparently the advisors are saying that it is actually correct, because that which, as it stands there, it will apply to both instances. And I think the principle is in line with what ICASA's practice is, that the applicability of the list has to be applied in terms of the release by the IEC, and that's what limits the space on who can claim for airtime. So, Chairperson, it's only drafting. I think the principle is agreed, it's only drafting. And if the legal minds are happy with the drafting, we'll go along with it.
Chairperson, I think it's not as complicated as it's been made out to be. It's very simple. I'm just trying to get the original section in the bill, the clause in the bill on screen. Chairperson, if you can just refer to the bill itself. If we read it, it says any political party defined in Section 1 of the Electoral Act 1998, Act Number 73 of 1998, or any alliance of such registered parties. So there's two types of groups that we're dealing with, a registered party and an alliance of registered parties. So the second word of it is as it says, which for the purpose of any particular election as before the commencement of the relevant election period submitted its list of candidates for the National Assembly or any other register contemplated in the Constitution. So as it stands now, the second word of submitting a list only applies to an alliance of registered parties, which will not be correct. It should apply to both registered parties and alliances of registered parties. So it's merely a technical issue of rewording it, or rather to just make sure that A and B are the first two categories of parties we're dealing with, and the second bit applies to both. So either a registered party or an alliance now must submit their list to the National Assembly to be considered a political party. So it's more of a technical issue. Nothing changes as it stands. It's just to make sure the bottom half of it applies to A and B.
Members, honorable Nivot Rohan.
I understand the explanation, but my question is as follows. If you look at A, the registered party is defined as what is defined in the Electoral Act. Okay, I understand that, but the alliance parties, is that also, does that also fall within the Electoral Act? I don't think it needs to. That's my question. Is that clear?
Stand-up first.
Thank you, Chairperson. Yes, the alliance in B refers to any alliance of such registered parties, so it refers back to the registered parties contemplated in the Electoral Act.
As I get it in simple terms, you've got the registered part, which is the main part, the registered one, let's say the African National Congress. Then you've got COSAT or SACP. What was current legislation as it stands, it gives a right to the alliance which the actual party does not have. So what we are trying to do is to make sure that the actual ANC in particular must also have the which was only on the alliance, not on it, and so on. But I'm trying to simplify it, because otherwise it would be going in seconds. That if you read the first one, it's saying, as you were talking about, any registered party, or an alliance. But remember, the alliance now is being qualified, which and so on. But the registered party, there's no qualification on it. I'm just trying to understand whether it's in that sense or it's much complicated than that. Do you see?
Good morning, Chair and honorable members. Let me make the practical example of what happened. When the election time came, it was during that time when, let's say, DA and CO would want to form an alliance. What in terms of the minutages, what it meant is that the recognized party will be the DA in terms of its allocation, in terms of parliament and the other issues. So it created a problem for ICASA when it had to provide airtime, because the airtime is in line with your previous winnings in the elections. So let's say there were to be an alliance when it comes. Let's say it's all maybe five new parties plus DA or plus all of them. It creates a problem in terms of allocation of airtime for the elections, as they were saying, that they have to be in terms of debate and the advertising time that has to be there to say, you give ANC 7 minutes, you give DA 5 minutes. What do you give the alliance of DA and ANC if they were to do that for airtime? It did not create for such show. That's what it created a problem from a regulatory perspective. So I don't know from the legal advisors, if you write it this way, whether it will solve the problem. Because the problem is really not here. It's when ICASA has to allocate airtime. And they come in and say, you do not have, you cannot say, because the other one got 5, the other one get 2, so they qualify for 7 minutes. An alliance becomes a new thing. It never won any elections previously, and our allocation is based on the percentage is based on the previous elections. So that's why it created a problem from a regulatory perspective.
Honorable Nivon Brocken and Killen.
Thank you, Jim. I understand what you're saying, but that's not my question. Any registered party, as defined in the Electoral Act, okay, and that's done. So now the alliances, like you said, the DA might ally with COPE, and that's specifically defined in the Electoral Act. That's my question.
Honorable Kiran.
Chairperson, the issue of alliances, in terms of the Electoral Act, there is only provision for a registered political entity. So if there is a formal alliance, that one must be registered. But on the other hand, I just wanted to say, and the answer lies actually in Section 26 of the Electoral Act. And it's a very simple provision. It says, it says, 26 of the Electoral Act reads as follows. Requirements for parties to contest elections. A party may contest an election only if that party, A, is a registered party, and B, has submitted a list of candidates in terms of Section 27. So, you have to be a registered party, and you must submit the list. If you don't do that, you cannot contest an election. And that's what we're basically trying to clean up here. So, to get back to the issue of A and B, if we don't clean up our definition, what effectively could be happening is we could have a group of parties agreeing to submit a list jointly, which is what the ANC does at present. You can do that. It's registered on one of the parties, or a new entity could be registered, which is then registered with the IEC. But then one list is submitted. But if we open it, if we leave it as open as it is under A at present, say for instance we form a nice coalition, yeah, DA, UCDP, you name it, grand sort of coalition. Nothing stops individual parties, COPE, for instance, to go back and say, but ICASA, B, is very restricted. But in terms of A, we're a registered party. We demand airtime. Notwithstanding the fact that we're not contesting the election on our own, we're contesting it as a group of parties. But if we leave A open at present, it means all registered parties can come and knock at ICASA's doors and say, we want it's election time, we want air time. So clearly, this is just a small omission that was not seen, and it's in the formulation as it was. The limitation is, you must submit a list.
And that is according to the Electoral Act. You must be a registered party and you must submit a list. And once you've done that, you will be an active player in an election. And ICASA must then accommodate you in party electoral broadcasts and all of that. So it is only just a cleanup operation. It's not a real major problem, Chairperson.
You also? Does that solve your problem? You look the other way. It's you who were elaborating on the matter. Does this solve ICASA's problem in terms of the allocation?
Chairperson, I think, as Mr. Perry said, it will require the legal mind to put it in the way that will achieve both objectives.
Legal advisor, does it achieve what we are intending to do?
Chair, it achieves what as described by the Honourable Killian, it seeks to clarify the matter, and if the change is not made, it would mean that any political party can ask for airtime, while the which part actually qualifies the whole matter.
So the amendment would effectively mean if a DA and the other parties come into an alliance, the airtime will be allocated to DA. The other ones, they are just there, but they are not going to claim time individually as parties. The only party who is going to be allocated a time will be DA. So they are counted under the party which they submitted the list on, other than as individuals, like the ANC. because you see the problem just that ICASA was saying it might be a problem, but we are saying we are trying to find a solution to them in terms of the current loophole and the other things and so on. Members, that's the explanation. I'm sure we've interacted with the matter for a long time. Probably now is time that you guide me what we do, members, whether we insert it and so that we can move forward on the matter. I think we have enough sufficient discussion on the matter and the intention. It seems to be dealing with the ICASA current dilemma as it is now. But the ICASA was skeptical that it deals with their problem. Honorable Murutwa? Probably before Honorable Murutwa, you come in, let me hear what ICASA wants to say so that when you come in at least ICASA.
Thank you, Chairman. As drafted there, it doesn't solve the airtime issue. Because let me give you the practical example. We'll allocate per the list published by the IEC. So it could be hundreds of political parties published in that list. We then allocate the airtime and speak to the SABC and all the others who then participate in the process. The problem is when we have a coalition, do we add up all those minutes and treat this coalition as if it is one? Or do we treat them as if it is separate?
The amendment says you don't, it's none of your business, that's the coalition. The only party, which is the registered one, you only allocate that. The rest, none of your problem, because they are there under that party, not on themselves independently. They are forming a coalition and say, well, this coalition, under probably ANC or DA. Then what you allocate is what ANC got in terms of the airtime, not the other parties in the coalition. So that is none of your problem that they are there in a coalition. That's what they are saying is doing, the amendment. I don't know, but that's what they are saying.
Okay, what I'm trying to say is that when we then allocate the minutes, say they have formed a coalition, you've got four who have then formed the coalition, and they each had 5 minutes allocated. Then it comes to 20. We then sit and issue those airtimes to the SABC. How does the SABC then treat them? So all we wanted clarity is that please let this list be aligned with a list as published by the IEC. That's all the appeal, that clarity that we are asking for. so that it is clear that we will still issue the minutes as if they are individuals and they see what they do with those minutes as a coalition.
Okay. Honorable Moruto.
You see, Chairperson, I thought the logic made sense when we were explaining this. And I was going to say maybe the legal advisors can just work on maybe the draft that they put so that it must give the sense that the logic that was explained here to people who would be reading this. Now, when ICASA comes in now, Chairperson, I'm telling you, it really just takes away the understanding that we had. Because it's simple as abengqi here that we are talking about the political party and the alliance, and that list, we even made an example about the ANC. The list that will be coming from the IEC, it will be the list of the ANC, that's all. And you are not going to be allocating, you know, a time according to what you know. It's according to what the product that comes from the IEC, which is that particular part. It's simple, you know. Now it complicates everything now when we start afresh. I was going to agree that I understand it. The logic that now we have come to, it makes me understand. Now, ICASA, I'm telling you, Chairperson, ICASA, it's so you all get to really understand.
The reason, members, why I was insisting for him to respond is because he's from ICASA. He might be in DOC. He has been dealing with these issues. That's why I thought that he has the practical experience whether this will solve the problem. Because he was there, he might have migrated before digital migration, but it's okay. But members, that's the amendment. Probably you must, my take is that members, you accept the amendment. That the amendment must be effected on our A list as part of the amendment to agree with as a committee. Probably we cannot be explicit on what Councillor Sotikwa she's raising, but the intention is to help that problem, not to occur, so that it's known that if you are an alliance, you belong to the mother party. We are not on your own. So whatever time allocation and so on, we work with that mother party, not as as a separate party and so on. But whether that says that, it's becoming difficult to ascertain that. Members, are you okay with the amendments? It just changed my A list. I'm sure when we finish, I'll have the A list, which as we go through the extra we are having. There is page 8 on the A list. Page 4 of the A list. And page 8 on the amended, on the bill as amended by the committee. The OC, can you clarify that sublet, and other things in that page? I'm sure you had enough time to look into it.
Thank you, Honourable Chair. The matter of let and sublet, the way we see it, there is no mistake in the current A-list and B-bill. Where it appears later in Section 31, that over there deals with radio frequency spectrum. And in that context, we, Honourable Chair, agreed in the last meeting that it would lead to spectrum trading potentially. So in the context of frequency, rather leave the let and sublet out for now, because that needs further consideration in the policy review. However, the Honourable Member now pointed out that similar wording appears earlier in the bill, which is around Section 13. But Section 13 deals with not frequency spectrum, but the transfer of individual licenses. So it's about licenses as such, not about frequency. So there, in that context, there is no risk of spectrum trading. In fact, a few weeks ago, ICASA issued a press release where they cautioned operators not to be letting and subletting without the permission of the authority. And that's exactly what this section simply does. It says, before you let and sublet, discuss it, seek permission from ICASA first. I can possibly go through ICASA's specific wording when they requested the amendment to Section 13, if you'll permit me, Honourable Chair. They previously, in November 2011, submitted that the authority proposes that the amendment must also include the insertion of the words let or sublet into the provision of subsection 1 of Section 13 of the Act. The underlying rationale is that licensees continue to let or sublet their licenses with impunity and without any approval from the authority. The authority believes it's time that this area of licensing is regulated and approval by the authority is sought. Our inspectors have identified that entities operating under and on behalf of licensees' individual license while the entity is not licensed. The authority needs to regulate the leasing of individual licenses so that the licensee's annual turnover slash profit is a true reflection of the licensed activities conducted by the licensee. The annual turnover will certainly not include the revenue collected by the unlicensed entity acting on behalf of the licensee. This, therefore, gives a distorted picture and is not a true reflection of the actual annual revenue received by the licensee. The scenario painted above may easily lead to under-collection of contributions to the Universal Service and Access Fund as well. Chairperson, so the DOC was convinced by that argument. We have aligned ourselves with this view from ICASA, and we therefore submit that it is correct to have the words let and sublet in the bill as proposed in the context of license transfers. Thank you, Chair.
I hear you. I thought you were going to talk to page 4, number 1 and number 2 precisely. I hear the explanation we had, but now we've got a problem here before us. What do you say on page 4, number 1, in terms of page 9, in line 49, to omit let and sublet? You are saying we should not omit it. It's the opposite of that. So if you can address yourself exactly where we are, not the general trust is fine, but we are here the problem.
Thank you, Honourable Chair. So if I, Chair, you're referring to the A list and you're referring to page 4, clause 15. Then it says on page 9 in line 49 to omit let sublet. So, Chair, that refers in other words to the original bill as introduced, and the original bill as introduced in clause 15, which is on page 9 of the bill as introduced, has a section that amends section 31, which is the radio frequency spectrum sections. And in right at the bottom there in 2 capital A, it says, a radio frequency spectrum license may not be let, comma, sublet, comma, assigned, ceded, or in any way transferred. And the control of a radio frequency spectrum license may not be assigned, ceded, or in any way transferred to any other person without the prior written permission of the authority. So that was the wording as introduced. Chairperson, then, during the process, the committee directed us to take out let and sublet to avoid spectrum trading and to defer that matter to the policy review. So, Chairperson, that's exactly what the amendment in the A list then seeks to do. On page 4, clause 15, number 1, it says on page 9, in line 49, to omit let, comma, sublet, comma. Thank you, Chair.
So I will chair the meeting. So I have to
to be short. Members, can you help me? I get a little bit. Legal services, you want to help?
Chairperson, I just think there's a quick clarification that was made so you'll be able to understand. You need to look at the original bill as introduced and compare it with the A list. So you will see the amendments, the page numbers will refer to the original bill as introduced, and the B bill is the end result of it. So that's why the numbers are not going to tabulate to the B bill. You have to look at the original bill for it to make sense.
You know what, I must admit, what I already always corrected Honorable Stein on it today just caught me. Because I always say, Honorable Stein, can you consider the original bill is introduced if you want to read our A list? It caught up with me today, big time, because I'm struggling and I'm reading the as amended by the committee, be not the original one. So if members will go to your original bill, which was introduced, that's what this corresponds with, not the current one which is already amended. We need to take it in that context. Do you have the original bill as introduced first? Maybe we must start with that. So that if you do, then the input should be linked to that bill, not the current one. Honorable Stein, your hand was up. Honorable Murutwam Tambi.
Just on a point of clarity of the explanation that was just given, if we decided to remove let and sublet to avoid trading, which we all want to avoid, by having removed those words where spectrum is concerned, does it now not allow trading to take place? Because we've taken those words out where approval must be sought. By taking it out, doesn't it actually mean that somebody can then let or sublet? Because we haven't been very specific there that if that happens, there must be approval by the regulator. So does it not defeat what we want to achieve by having taken it out?
But don't get excited. Please, get your original bill as introduced, and then we compare our A list with makes sense with that. That's the first thing we're doing. We're not dealing with the substance of the issues. We just want to check whether it does correspond. It's in line with it. Probably later you can deal with what you're trying to do. But now we just want to make sure that it does correspond, or it does correspond as well. Okay. Honorable Clay?
You see, I have discovered amongst all the many documents, I have discovered the original. And this is where I have indeed deleted in line 49, let and sublet. But, and I must say but, my concern is equal to that of Honorable Stein, that we're actually going to defeat the purpose. Because what we're saying here, and we've introduced a clause to say, without the prior permission, written permission of the authority. But now we are taking out let and sublet, which means for subletting and for letting, you will not require the written permission of the authority. And that is why I share the concern expressed by Honorable Stein that we are defeating the purpose. We have identified this, it's correct, and as they have captured it on the list, it's correct. But Chair, I don't think that is what we wanted to achieve as a committee. I think we didn't read it properly, because it now means that the written permission sought from the authority will not be for letting and subletting. And I submit that that is wrong.
The submission which they submitted, they said, if you're saying may, it means the opposite is also true, that they can, provided the regulator now that can be taken or can be challenged, and the regulator will have to justify why not, and so on. That's what they submitted. And the motivation of removing it, that you don't have to say may, because if you say may, it means it can happen, but probably under certain circumstances it should not. Which when the DDG was explaining, was saying that is introduced, it's a change in policy.
because you don't have a policy now which is dealing with let or subletting and so on. So that matter must go to the ICT policy review. That's how they responded. Because we are changing policy without having a basic, the basic policy which does that. So we are just changing it by law, but we don't have a fundamental policy which is dealing with that. So that was their motivation when that matter was presented, and that's how we agreed about permitting let and sublet. It was on those basis as well, if I still remember. But if I'm misrepresenting them, they are here. That's what they motivated for and so on. And as a committee, then agreed about the omission of those. Joseph?
Chairperson, we are very much covered by your explanation. In fact, you caught us very correctly. I can just also submit to Chairperson the reading of the law cannot be as the Honourable Member read. That which is not in law is not permissible. And this is the understanding I have, Chairperson. So if you put it in, you will also have to apply it whichever side of implementing that provision. So this is the clear understanding, Chairperson. If it is not there, it is not permissible, it is not allowed for it to happen until such time that it is clarified. And when it is clarified in the legislation, it will have been clarified in the policy intent, and then it gives effect to it in law. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you. Let me start to deal with the matter where it emanates we are dealing with. So the reference by Honourable Mtambi was not on the original bill as introduced, was on the bill as amended. That's what led us to this discussion. So when that is covered, let us be sure that we have dealt with that. Now what members are trying to do, now they are trying to contest the clause. It's no longer about the issues raised by Honourable Mtambi, which is what we are doing now. They are giving again the same explanation that you don't have a policy which currently deals with let and sublet. Currently, as we speak, you'll be introducing in terms of law, but the problem, how do you deal with that policy level? That becomes the challenge and so on. So their understanding, and let the state law advisors say otherwise, is that what is not permitted in law should not be happening. That's what the mentioning of the deal, is it true? Is that true? The state law advisor is saying it's true. Until the ICT policy review deal with the policy issues around that, then it's when the matter can be able to look into and so on. So that's where we are on this matter. So can we pass this one and then there's another matter? They are saying that they were instructed by the committee to remove. And then that's what they did. Members, can we go to another matter? Honourable Steyn?
Just
my apology, Honourable Mtambi, her hands was up. Just that she was not here for a long time, there was no one here. So I'm used not to look here, just to look the other side. Honourable Mtambi?
For the record, my story, I've been sitting here all the time. And I've been watching you sitting here, my story. So I don't know. You see, Chairperson, why we are raising these issues. Like what the DDG has said. We looked at the intention of the Act now as we are seated here. Because currently the wording in the Act, it doesn't make any provision for someone to let or sublet, individual or class license. That's where we are coming. So, and to do so, as you are saying, timber, it will be illegal. So, you see, if now we allow the EDTC, when I read it, it says subletting and sublet can be allowed as long as it's approved by ICAS. That's what it said here.
Yeah,
it said it can be done, meaning that now somebody who's a licensed broadcaster can then be able to sublet the license to someone else. And I don't think this is the intention of the Act. That's why I'm raising these issues. So that's where I stand here.
Thank you. but the issue of cross-referencing and the pages and everything each time is what the committee we ask you to do. And now we are going back to deal with the substance of it.
Chairperson, I think DOC member Alf was emphatic on the explanation of the two issues. How we arrive at dealing with the whole issue of individual license transfer was the perpetuation of the illegal activity on the license issues. And the ICASA is informing the department that the practice is sexually rife, that it needs to be contained. And so the department intended to address that problem, Chairperson, as articulated by ICASA. But when it comes to the issue of radio frequency spectrum resources, we want a proper accountability and to ensure that anything else around that natural resource is actually illegal if something else happens. So there is, in fact, as discussed in the committee, a clear intention to curb. First, the intention of the clause is to curb those kinds of practices so that ICASA can also clean its bill, its books, and account for any payments, as it were. But when it comes to spectrum transfer, there is a policy vacuum, and hence we refer the issue to for further discussion. So that the issue must first deal with the issue because Honourable Mthambi, you recall that the parties at the public hearing in Johannesburg who supported the issue, this section, they were saying that they are happy because another interpretation of the clause is that it does allow for them to make submissions to the authority to allow them to let and sublet, which is not necessarily the intention. So whilst the provision at that point in time wanted to curb that, another interpretation is the fact that the administrative body has a duty to also consider those who want to trade by intention and design. Thank you, Chair.
You see, members, we are putting me to a very difficult position. Honourable Mthambi's reference was wrong. Was on the as amended, not as originally introduced. The same motivation which they are dealing with, that's what I've been repeating in simple terms. They've dealt with that. The statutory advisor agree that what is not permitted in law is legal to do that. Until the policy review has dealt with the matter, there is a policy on the issue. Because probably what they are saying we are doing, we are imposing something which at policy level has not been looked into and its implication and other things. That was the motivation. Members, can we go to another issue if there's another issue and leave this one? Before we go to lunch, can we go to another issue if there's another issue and leave just this one? Honorable Singh? You can raise it if you didn't raise it before because it won't change anything.
I agree entirely with the department and I agree with what you've said and I agree with what the state law advisors have said. What may or may not be allowed in law. The fact is this clause does not talk about what may be allowed. It talks about what may not be allowed, and we're now excluding the let and sublet. So by omission, we're actually allowing them to do it without seeking the approval. So we're talking about it may not. Therefore, I believe we should include that because we want to exclude it at this point without the permission. So I entirely agree with the objective. I just think we're missing it here.
Is it true what he's saying, Alf? No. Is it true what the Honorable Stein is saying, that we might be want to do something, but it's not what is there?
Thank you, Honorable Chair. Well, we would respectfully disagree with the interpretation because
firstly, there is a policy framework, and that is that spectrum is a scarce resource. So other provisions in this law deal with what you may and may not do. So there's a framework. The framework says for anyone to use radio frequency spectrum, you have to have a license. That's the bottom line. So Section 31.1, for example, says no person may transmit any signal by radio or use radio apparatus to receive any signal by radio except under and in accordance with the radio frequency spectrum license granted by the authority to such person in terms of this act. So that's the basic rule, full stop. If you can't go around and letting and subletting and, you know, just some arrangement between two parties and you start using frequency, that's illegal, that's full, the period. So, and that framework exists because, as I said, it's a scarce resource. Now, if we want to change that framework, we need to review the policy, and that's under consideration. You know, should we, for example, think about the fact that it's a scarce resource, therefore letting and subletting may be a good thing because therefore you can use one frequency and perhaps someone that doesn't use it effectively can sublet it, etc. But those are policy considerations. We're saying that will be dealt with separately. So what the amendment sought to do was to then say, well, let's just think about certain exceptions to this basic rule. And one of them is, if you want to transfer a license to someone else, you can't just do that. Again, you need the authority's permission. The ICASA must make regulations that prescribe how that must be done. You know, if it's transferred, will it be used effectively by whomever it's transferred to, etc. So you create a framework so that, again, it's just this scarce resource. It's just not transferred everywhere. It's protected, it's managed, it's well regulated. And that's what this law seeks to do. But it doesn't take away from the basic premise that you have to have a license to use a frequency. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much, Ars. Can we move to another issue? Honorable Kiran? Members, probably let me say I'm not prepared to discuss the substance of this matter. We have passed the substance. What has opened up the matter was the cross-referencing. The cross-referencing has been done and been confirmed. So there's no issue now to be discussed. Because unless I say it so, members, they think that we still have the latitude of continuous just discussing a merry-go-round and so on. No, we've passed that. We're instructed by us to affect the amendment. But the problem was the cross-referencing at the wrong part of the as amended by the committee, not as introduced. We've clarified that matter. We can't go back and reopen and discuss. The department is repeating the same thing, which makes us to instruct them to go and do. So what do you hope to achieve with this discussion? There is none, to be honest. Can we go to a next issue if there's another issue? Honorable Mutami?
I think we need to set the record straight here. The misunderstanding, I think, is it's not about spectrum trading. But we are raising this issue about trading in individual and class license. That's what the issue. We're not talking about spectrum trading. I think that's the thing that we need to set the record straight.
Thank you. Individual license goes spectrum. No, it's two separate issues. We are talking about spectrum trading, not individual and class license and so on. So I think that's the separation, which we are confirming. Honorable Killian, you wanted to still to engage?
Jefferson, no. The issue that I just wanted to raise is that it is this institution that must really scrutinize and say, when we make adjustments, is it going to play out to improve the current legislative framework. So I don't think it is proper that we're saying it's passed, you can't reopen that, it is not for debate anymore. We should ask, and I know because...
No, we're out of order. We're not wasting our time. We had the presentation, they presented the same thing, they've acted on our instruction. That's why I'm saying no person raised the matter on its substance. It was the issue of cross-reference. We're scared with that. If you wanted to raise the matter, should have raised the matter as is. But I'm saying what opened up the discussion was cross-referencing, which we have ironed out. The department has explained the same thing they did at the time when we say they must omit what we say they must omit. My question is, what do you want to achieve exactly? Because especially the matter was not introduced on its substance. Was introduced on the basis that the cross-referencing are wrong, because if you look in terms of the bill as amended by the committee, you still have letter sublet, but here on the A list you say it must be omitted. That was the introduction of the matter, was not the substance. So to be opportunistic also is a problem. That's a problem, because that was not the issue. If you had an issue, you have raised it in the first instance. Not opportunistically. It's a problem on its own. So there's nothing which is wrong here or which I've did. Actually, we've passed and adopted the A list. It's me here when you raise the issues, including Honorable Sheen. I've allowed that discussion because it's a committee matter. Let us discuss it despite that we've already moved and adopted the A list. I don't think you'll ever have such a thing happening that you go and so, but because the legislative process, we need to accommodate each other, we need to understand what's your motivation. But in this issue, that the introduction of it was not the substance of it, was the cross-referencing, which we've ironed out. That's what I'm raising. So if members, because of the cross-referencing, now they want to deal with the substance which they were quiet about, and the person or the member who introduced the matter was on cross-referencing, that's what become my problem. That we are just discussing because now it's before us. But it's not even the matter, which when you're going through the bill yourself, you pick it up originally until the issue of cross-referencing comes out. That's my problem. So now we're behaving as if, A, the first time when you open the meeting, you said, I've got an issue. That is, no, no, we didn't do so. So it has come as cross-reference. So we've dealt with the cross-reference. Can we move on? Because we've clarified that. What you raise, the department will repeat it as they've done it and as we've agreed at one point to do that. But if you want to continue to discuss it, I will tell you now, you can discuss it, you can continue to raise it, but what do you hope to achieve? That has been my question with the discussion. We are on the floor, you can continue.
Mr. President, I wanted to make the point that the complexity in this matter is the fact that we are awaiting a complete policy review. Now we are doing some corrective interventions currently. And we are saying what we want to achieve is broad-based black economic empowerment. But if we allow some gaps to exist, we're going to achieve the opposite. And that is just a concern that I wanted to put on the table. But I'm not going to convince you, so I don't want to delay the committee. You can proceed with the process, but I will not be part of the rest of the process because I don't think we are achieving quality legislation if this is how we're dealing with it. Pressure cooker legislation will explode in our faces and we will achieve
the unfortunate part is that you can serve it out for yourself. I don't want it. I don't want to hear it. If you want to leave the process, you are up to do it on your own as a political party. It's your decision. But I'm saying you cannot allow me to on procedural matter. You know, you always tell us and teach us about the rules. You know where we are on this matter and how must we proceed. Why when it suits you, you don't quote the rule? Eh? Because it suits you now, you don't quote the rule. You want us to do to and from. All that I'm saying, the introduction of the matter was cross-referencing. We have dealt with the cross-referencing. What we are raising, and Honorable Stein raised, they responded to the department. What else do you want me to do? That's the question I've been asking. What do you want me to do? Because we don't proceed. We just talk on one issue and so on. But on what you want to do as a party, or by all means, it's up to you. You're a political party. You've been elected by South Africa to represent them. If you represent them outside committee meetings, all well done and fair. It's okay. Let's pray for lunch. We'll come in too. Thank you.